Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, in our flesh.
Hello and welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team behind Have I Got News For You, where we take you through our picks of the news this week when the TV show can't.
We'll be looking at both the serious and not so serious news items and trying to convince each other of which story we think would have been perfect for the show if it was on air.
Which it isn't. But let's introduce ourselves anyway. I'm Emerald Paston. I write on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Jack Harris, a sometimes producer of the show.
I'm Mike Raymond, sometimes series producer of the show.
And I'm Queenie Miller, the picture researcher for the show, which is obviously essential for a podcast.
Absolutely key.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
How are we doing?
Oh my God, Jack's back.
I'm back.
Yay. Jack's back in a beautifully decorated booth. Are those autumn leaves?
They are. They're big on fall here.
Autumn.
For the listeners, Jack is in a booth with green foam on it and autumnal orange leaves. And it does look like you're trying to camouflage into the wall, I will say. You're wearing a green t-shirt and he's ginger.
You look like an autumn tree.
This place that I record from, this little tiny booth, is also the desk of the social media producer, Zach, who's a very funny man. And this is where he's based. So I've had to kick him out to do that. Aww. But he made it a bit nicer because it's quite... Well, you're just staring at foam, basically. You feel like the walls are about to close in and just kind of give you a nice massage.
I think that's a good insight into your mental status. The walls are closing in.
Oh, not at all.
Mate, you've done the first show.
First show. It's very exciting. And it went out on Saturday night on CNN.
We had a little screening at Hat Trick for the American Have I Got News For You. And we all really liked it.
Mm.
So when the debate happened, I was watching the debate on CNN and they had an advert for the show in there.
That's cool.
And then afterwards, when they're doing the kind of like post-match analysis, you know, the kind of heat map of where was Trump on and sort of like...
That heat map must have just looked like spaghetti.
Yeah. Oh, if it's a mental heat map. But during that post-match analysis, they had in the corner a little graphic which said 4 days to go until Have I Got News For You.
That's really cool.
It's pretty cool.
All of the team were very excited. And then we recorded on Friday and it went out and it was great. It was so much fun.
What are the differences between an American record and a British record?
The biggest difference of the show is that, in fact, it's automatically an hour long, but there's 15 minutes of adverts, so it's 5 breaks. So whereas on the UK show, we can just be like, in the Liz Truss era, our round one question would have so much stuff in it. We could say in the edit, okay, well, it's a 29, 30 minute episode, but we'll do 20 minutes on the first round and we just won't even put another one out in. Whereas with this, they have to go, well, we can only fit everything in this first 15 minute section and we can't extend it. You're like very much like having to keep in the parts. So that's probably the biggest difference. And they like the game element over here. There's a lot of clapping if someone gets the answer correct.
They love the points, don't they? They get really happy about getting points.
That is probably the first... When I was watching the record on Friday, I said to my colleague Rachel and Ben, you guys are so obsessed with it being a game. We do not care at all in the UK. So the idea that they're like, oh, well, got the right answer. Excellent stuff. It's quite fun and quite nice because it shows they're invested. But yeah, really, really exciting. And we're not short of news. So
you didn't have the assassination attempt. That must have been
no. So that happened on Sunday. So we went out on CNN on Saturday and then it repeats on HBO Max on a Sunday, but that had to get pulled because of that. They didn't know what the details were and all that sort of stuff. Mm. So that's the sort of stuff that you think we'd obviously be talking about. We'd probably be talking about this week.
How much fun can you have with that? I don't know what American sensibilities are like.
What's weird about, I was talking to someone about this today, it's weird that they've kind of caught him, that he's been arrested.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, like, he didn't actually shoot, I'm not defending him, but he didn't shoot anyone.
No, he's a shit assassin.
He didn't shoot at anyone. Yeah. 12 hours just hanging around and then he just didn't do anything.
He's quite an odd guy.
Yeah. I mean, is this us going into our sort of story now?
Can do.
Yeah.
What a seamless segue. Oh. You've become polished in American, Jack.
You're the one who did it, mate. I'm like, I'm talking to Bruce Forsyth, just throwing to something.
One of the all-time great Have I Got News For Yous, Bruce Forsyth. I would argue Bruce Forsyth on Have I Got News For You is almost singularly the reason the show's still on air.
Oh, wow. That's fine.
That's a big claim to make for someone who wasn't working on the show at the time. But from talking to people around at the time, it was such a monumental thing, and he really set the benchmark of what a guest host could do. I don't remember, it was during the Iraq War, and he did Play Your Iraqi Cards Right. The Americans had issued these playing cards. It was like Saddam Hussein was the ace of spades or whatever, and it was like going down, and they all had these deck of cards to try and find these Iraqis, and Bruce Forsyth did Play Your Iraqi Cards Right.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, wild.
And he came out and there was like a gold curtain, and he came out to that, and I remember watching it just being like, holy shit, this is... Because you think Angus was such a big part of the show.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you think, oh my God, you're changing a bit of the furniture. And Bruce Forsyth just went, here's how you do that.
So this feels like this is our round one story for this week, which is that Donald Trump has had an assassination attempt on him at his Florida golf course.
Weirdly, I've talked to a couple of Americans and they're a bit like, it hasn't hit as hard the second time round.
The first one was so dramatic though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of the wildest thing that I think actually happened from it.
Mm. But hey, the pillows on the ears, the little bandages on the ears, that happened from it.
Oh yeah, the fashion trend.
That was pretty good.
Oh yeah, but I mean that he was able to come out of it unscathed, relatively, you know. Which a New York Magazine reporter inspected his ear and said that it was normal and incredible and fine.
Mm. Incredible.
If someone described my ears as incredible... they should be locked up, shouldn't they, really? There's been loads of coverage, obviously. Like that's all everyone's talking about. Everyone's talking about the guy who was going to shoot him. And like you say, Mike, he's an odd character, this guy, Ryan Ruth. He's been interviewed quite a lot by the press as well because he wanted to try and recruit fighters from Afghanistan to fight in Ukraine and had these grand ideas but never actually kind of saw them through. But Daily Beast is kind of like a news site quite big in America.
Mm.
They went straight to the most definitive source and spoke to his old pickleball partner in Hawaii to find out what he was like.
No way.
He said he was hard on himself, but except for his own errors, he was the most mild-mannered player out there.
Interesting.
So, quite a nice review of the guy from his pickleball partner.
It's basically the equivalent of when a footballer does a two-footed challenge and almost breaks someone's leg and then after gets sent off, and then the manager always says afterwards, oh, he's a lovely lad. He's not that kind of player.
It's even further than that because it's nothing to do with the actual sport. It's like asking his old dinner lady what was he like and defending him for a two-footed tackle.
Well, I was confused because everyone keeps talking about him as one person, but I was having a look at him and there's two assassins.
Oh my God.
If I could just show you that picture.
What's about to happen?
Is Mike peddling a conspiracy theory?
So I'm just showing you, like, this basically what happened is when he got led away, his T-shirt rode up. And he's got like a face, his stomach looks like Trump's face.
Oh, no.
There's him up here, and then there's this guy down here.
Oh my God.
It does look Trumpy.
That is the silliest thing.
Looks like Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
Something else that was kind of ridiculous about the whole thing was Elon Musk's post that he deleted and that the Secret Service were made aware of.
Yeah.
Where he said that no one is even trying to assassinate Joe Biden or Kamala Harris.
Why he's tweeting out stuff like that is crazy.
And then subsequently since then, it's like he's gradually trying to work out what a joke is. Because then he posts, one lesson I've learned is that just because I say something to a group and they laugh doesn't mean it's going to be all that hilarious as a post on X. And then he says, turns out jokes are way less funny if people don't know the context and the delivery is in plain text.
So he's just figuring out how to be a normal human being. But
it does sound like that, doesn't it?
It's like Comedy Virgins. In London, there's a night called Comedy Virgins. And you get people who turn up, it's their first time doing stand-up. And you see the moment the one guy is like funny in his social group and thinks it's a good idea. And he hasn't run any new material. And there's that moment when no one laughs and they turn on the crowd. Start going, it's your fault for not laughing at me.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was when he brought Tootie. He turned up at the offices carrying a kitchen sink.
Oh, yeah.
And he tweeted, let that sink in. And it was at that point everyone went, oh, this is a terrible mistake.
I might come to his defense there. I think that's really funny.
Wow. God, Queenie. Queenie.
I think that that's beyond unfunny. That's the least funny thing anyone can ever do. And so... It's genius.
It's anti-comedy, basically.
Props comedy.
Wow. Ooh. I love that we finally found what makes Queenie laugh. And it's Elon Musk's terrible jokes.
Let's not make that a thing.
It's sort of on brand. It sort of makes sense.
Part of the Secret Service stuff they were saying about with the golf course is that it's really hard to secure because it's like the only time a sitting or former president gets to drive a vehicle themselves.
Wow.
So like when they're in a golf cart, otherwise they're just driven around everywhere. So like they always want to drive their own golf cart. Because...
Is that why he's always there? Because he's clearly shit at golf.
Yeah, well, he just wants to drive around.
Is that why he's always... That makes so much sense.
Take him to Legoland and put him on one of those like fake little driving courses.
Maybe that's why he liked going to Windsor to meet the Queen.
Oh, yes.
It's all making sense.
Yeah.
This is our very specific conspiracy theory about Donald Trump.
Let the man drive.
One thing that really made me laugh is, I don't know if you saw this, but Keir Starmer was in America. He flew over to see Joe Biden and just before the assassination attempt.
What is this a theory, Mike? This?
No. No. But there was a weird window of time where a couple of papers were saying that Starmer wasn't going to meet Trump when he was out there. And some of the papers were saying Starmer needs to be careful because if Trump wins, he's not really made much effort with him. He could find himself out in the cold. So there was a weird thing where like Starmer's there. He wasn't going to see Trump. There's been the assassination attempt. So you had two stories next to each other where it said Trump assassination attempt. And then the next line, it said Starmer misses Trump.
That's pretty good.
There was an article I saw where they were saying that some Starmer aides have been kind of like giving lines to Kamala Harris. So she keeps talking about turning the page, which apparently is something that Starmer said over and over again. Oh. So,
but no one can remember.
Yeah. And also it's like, oh, one phrase that she's saying that yeah. Labour are like, we did that. We're involved.
Just wait till Harris starts smashing the gangs.
Oh, can't wait for it to smash the gangs.
Oh, it's gone a bit quiet about smashing the gangs because they've suddenly realised that it's very expensive to smash the gangs. It's really funny because he really laid into Rishi Sunak for Stop the Boats, which obviously was a terrible slogan. And everyone, I think, is sick of these three-word slogans. But then he's come up with Smash the Gangs.
Also, such a cringe sentence.
Yeah. It's lightly bash the gangs now, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like, really scold the gangs.
Shake your fist at the gangs.
Send a strongly worded email to the gangs.
Yeah. That's more Starmer's style, isn't it? Cease and desist letter to the gangs. And then he called Rwanda a gimmick, which obviously is. But then all of a sudden he's gone over to Italy and now gone, but if we process the migrants in Albania. That's interesting.
That's a different thing from the Rwanda scheme.
Yeah. You know, people will point out there are big differences because Labour aren't saying send people to Albania in the way that the Tories were saying send them to Rwanda. They're saying don't let them come here in the first place, process them in Albania. But I think the common point stands of going, it sort of feels a bit grubby and inhuman.
Yeah. There's been a 64% year-on-year drop in small boat arrivals to Italy. And they're like, Keir Starmer wants to find out how they've done that. And it's like, be very right-wing. That's literally the way to do it. You know what I mean? Actually, one thing I just want to say very quickly, in terms of like US coverage, there was the Lib Dem conference and Ed Davey did his speech.
That got coverage in the USA?
There's been loads of coverage in the USA.
Really?
No, obviously not. Obviously.
Oh, I got really excited then.
Me too. I was like, maybe it was the volleyball that finally did it.
Yeah, they would love him. He's all gimmick.
The country collectively had a moment today when got into the office, turned on the news, it said Ed Davey to close the Lib Dem conference. And I think everyone collectively went, there was a Lib Dem conference. Because all you saw all week was Ed Davey plays volleyball.
Ed Davey on a jet ski.
Yeah.
I did watch the entire thing, obviously. So you're welcome. So you didn't have to.
Well done, Queenie. Thank you. I did see you struggling on with that today.
This was a good thing that came out of it. He said, it was only health and safety rules that stopped me putting my hand up a cow's behind. It was only health and safety rules. In terms of when he was talking about the election gimmick.
I like that's just got nothing to do with election campaigning.
At least it's not a three-word slogan.
Yeah, true.
Did you see that he went to the like closing speech and he came on to Take a Chance on Me? He's following the ABBA line.
Yeah.
From Teresa.
You know, Keir Starmer's going to come out to ABBA at the Labour conference.
Oh, go on then. Go
money,
on.
Money, money.
Yeah, nice.
There's no money in a Labour world.
Apart from my wife's dresses.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome back to In the News This Week. It's time for round two now, which I'm hosting as a three-time winner of round two myself.
Mm-hmm. I'm just doing the American clap.
The three-peat.
Nice.
The Michael Jordan of political podcasts.
Okay, we each bring a story from the past week for this round that we think would work best for round two of the TV show. So, Jack, all the way from New York, what have you got for us this week?
I saw a story that made me laugh, just mainly the headline, and it's a classic Capricorn issue story, which is incompetence from a kind of organisation. And this is that Canadian military admits new sleeping bags are not suited for Canadian winters.
Oh, no.
So, basically, the Canadian military spent nearly £20 million on sleeping bags, and soldiers who used the bags found several critical issues related to lack of warmth, which you think, in terms of function of a sleeping bag, quite important.
Pretty much the only function.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they look nice. They're nice and green. But other than that, that's kind of all they have done with those sleeping bags.
I'm kind of reassured by this because I feel like I only ever hear about ridiculous British spending in the military and all the broken things that they buy for that. So I'm kind of reassured that other countries have this problem too.
Really good sign that we're all doing it badly.
Yeah, there was a great story earlier in the summer about Britain investing in drones, and they tested them in the Middle East and they hadn't thought to test them in British weather.
Yes.
None of them working. Basically, all the drones are like, what is this hell you brought me to?
So good.
You know, with the Canadian military, apparently they've had to hand out massive quilts, like these giant quilts, to the soldiers now, but no one will talk about it because it's a massive cover-up.
Nice.
Very good.
I'm really glad that that was received in complete silence.
No, it's just, I really wanted to see if I could get... I'm so desperate to reach an Elon Musk level of queenie approval.
No, you went the other way. You know, like, when flight attendants tell you that you have to brace for impact in that position? That's literally what I do when I hear that Mike's ramping up to joke.
Yeah. You can see that stupid look on my face. I'm like...
No. You're quite good, Mike, because I was like, well, he's telling a joke, and I was like, wait, no, is he telling something factual?
The joke got so boring. The setup was so boring. You're like, this can't possibly be a joke.
But also, they've recommended loaning the soldiers sleeping bags from 1965, which apparently work better. So that would make a lot of our viewers happy, I think, to hear that good, well-made stuff from the 60s is still the best option.
But do you know what? I actually don't see why this is a problem, given that most countries in the West don't fight any wars outside of the Middle East, which doesn't have a winter, so it's probably not going to be a problem.
I thought you were going to say most c***s don't need a sleeping bag. I was like, bloody hell, Mike. I was going to go quite strong.
Oh, really? No, don't get me started on Glastonbury.
Thank you for that story, Jack. It feels very seasonal, something for the cold weather that maybe is drawing in soon.
I've gone big seasonal. Big autumn leaves, sleeping bags.
Big autumn energy.
You can't see it, but I've got big Guy Fawkes here that I'm about to burn. Teach the Americans about what a devil he was.
Queenie, what have you got for us this week?
So I found this today and it really just took my breath away. I'll just read the headline. Gemma Collins is convinced that Jack the Ripper is her great-great-grandfather. Wow. And that's the crossover that I really enjoy. I'm not a particular fan of Gemma Collins, but she's entered the kind of ether of everything. She's great. She's really entertaining person who was on The Only Way is Essex and Big Brother and I'm a Celeb. But she was on Who Do You Think You Are? And she discovered that she has a couple of links to the infamous serial killer.
But they how do they know that? Because
we don't know who he is, do
we? Yeah, is that so? That feels like a big a big flaw.
The biggest story is we found out who Jack the Ripper is. Surely that's the biggest.
This is my difficulty with Who Do You Think You Are, because you could say about anyone who comes on the show, you could say, yeah, it might be Jack the Ripper, and then just walk away. But they go, this will be the funniest person to say it to is Gemma Collins.
Exactly, because she'll run with it. So what she said to the Daily Star was she has ancestors from Dorset Street in East London, where some of his victims died, apparently. My great-great-grandfather died in a workhouse. I think that's the reason they can't find Jack the Ripper, because it was him. So it's coming from her.
Good logic.
Oh, wow.
It's coming from her mostly. She said, it can only happen to me. It would be my luck that he would be one of my relatives.
Again, just what would it matter? What would it matter? She's not done nothing wrong.
She added, I'm ecstatic. Obviously, the murders were terrible, and I get that.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
I would pay money for a show to see Gemma Collins doing a Ouija board trying to contact her great-great-grandfather, Jack the Ripper.
That's not even far off from the rest of the story. Gemma believes she has psychic powers and is going to have a seance to speak to Jack the Ripper.
This is page 3 in the Times, right?
No, it's page 6 in the Star, which is quite high up in the Star. But I'll be sat for that. I'll be ready and waiting on iPlayer. So what I'd ask you is, who do you think you might be related to in the world of history?
I don't know if I told you guys this before.
This is going to be a big thing, isn't it? You're related to Churchill.
No, that wouldn't be as bad. My mum's side is Scottish, and their roots go back to the same very small part of Scotland that Donald Trump's roots go back to on his mother's side. Down to the fact that both have the same surname in the family, and he traced a relative and she had the same name that's very common in my family. So I've absolutely no evidence. This is a Gemma Collins level of evidence. But there's a running joke in my family that we might be related to Donald Trump in some way.
So. And you've also got the psychic ability to be able to speak with him.
They're eating the cat. They're eating the dog. I do love driving, so...
Oh,
I wouldn't say I have huge hands.
I did a DNA test and I was quite excited to see if there was anything exotic in my very pale ginger complexion.
It's hiding very well.
It turns out, no. My DNA is like 60% English, 30% Irish, 10% nondescript within error. So it basically means that none of my ancestors had a fling with any invaders. So I don't know who I could go back to. Who's the oldest living person who was in Britain that didn't do that?
Anne Widdicombe.
I don't know. Maybe I got some pagan. Who's a famous pagan? Wow, come on, guys. We've got famous pagans that we know.
We've gone from Radio 1 with Gemma Collins to BBC 4 with this. Name a famous pagan.
Who's your favourite pagan?
Oh, yeah, Queenie, who do you think is in your past?
Well...
Margaret Thatcher, is that the game there again?
Well...
Yeah. You wish.
My dad's from Stoke, so maybe the captain of the Titanic.
Was the captain of the Titanic from Stoke?
Yeah. He didn't do very well at captaining the Titanic, did he? But
can do it on a Saturday, but can he do it on a rainy Tuesday night in Stoke?
Did Emerald have anyone that was...
Oh, mine's so lame. But basically, I think on my dad's side... The family's from Norfolk and they're the Pastons of Norfolk. They were like these nobles. We're meant to be related to them by an illegitimate marriage or child. Anyway, they wrote loads of letters and they're really famous for their medieval letters. And I think that's why I'm so into writing letters and postcards. Hence why I have an American pen pal.
Yes.
Through whom I met Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, shit. That's amazing.
Cool. You should join the Handwritten Letter Appreciation Society, which is a guest pub we had on my first series. They sent me a handwritten letter as a thank you.
I mean, I'm going to say it. Pretty lame, Emerald. Letter writing ancestors. But
yours was so much cooler.
But...
Yours was so much cooler.
Yours was just any white person.
Yeah. Jack's related to full fat milk.
Look, I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. I just think that other people will be listening to this. I don't believe that, Emerald, but I have to be the voice of the people sometimes.
Hang on a minute. Ours were all shit and completely made up. Emerald's was actually researched and thoughtful.
Really interesting.
And related to royal. And then custard cream here. of DNA comes in.
I've got balance. It runs through my veins.
Thank you for that story, Queenie. That took us to some interesting places.
No problem.
Mike, what is your round two story for this week?
I've got a couple of small stories I'm going to scoop up into a game.
Love it.
Nice. Called What's Your Beef? And basically, there's been some amusing, famous beefs this week. So what I would do is, if this was a show week, I would go to Queenie and say, Queenie, I need you to knock up some stills. I need to work with Graphics Dave and knock up a little board. And what you guys would see on that board is the Pope, Larry the Cat, and Prince Andrew. And a little slogan would come and say, what's your beef?
Nice.
Pick a person on that board and tell me who they've got beef with this week. So it's, or who has beef with them this week. So it's the Pope, Larry the Cat, Prince Andrew. Anyone want to take one and have a guess?
I'll go Pope.
Yeah.
Go on then.
Because I think I'm tuned into this one. He's got beef with basically all the presidential candidates because...
Oh, wow. That's it.
He complained about Kamala Harris and he complained about Donald Trump. But I can see that's not the answer, so I'm going to move on very quickly.
No, but I love that. He did throw shade. That's what the kids say, isn't it?
He said vote for the lesser of two evils, I think. That's something like that, didn't he?
But then didn't say which of the lesser of two evils was. So he might have beef with the American candidates, but apparently the whole of France has beef with him.
No. Oh, wow.
So Notre Dame, as you say, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Oh, God,
that goes for you, doesn't it?
That's chilling.
But that's being reopened soon and they're having a big ceremony and Emmanuel Macron invited the Pope to oversee the sort of proceedings, which you think, that's a no-brainer, right? Mm. That's like Harry Kane at Wembley, you know, Pope at Notre Dame. But the Pope turned around and went, I'm not going to Paris, and then refused to say any more about it.
Oh, really?
What?
And now the French are quite upset and are like, the Pope hates France.
Oh, excellent.
This is very, like, 1600s beef. This is cool. True. This is historical.
It's proper, like, Charlemagne shit. Like, the Vatican's at war with France.
Maybe you just didn't like the fact that Raygun got kicked out so early in the rape dancing. And that's...
So then back to the board. We've still got Larry the Cat and Prince Andrew.
So Larry the Cat's got to be beef with the kitten. New Siberian kitten. I'll say it again, Siberian kitten. If I say it three times,
then the kitten appears.
Yeah. Is that Starmer's new pet? Is that?
I think that Larry the Cat has beef with everyone, like the aides and the staffers at Downing Street.
Queenie, you are onto it. It's specifically new Scottish Secretary Ian Murray, a man after my own heart, who said recently, Larry the Cat is a little shit and the most miserable animal you'll ever meet.
I've actually got a little Larry the Cat fact. Starmer gave Giorgia Meloni Larry the Cat branded biscuits for his daughter.
What?
Cat biscuits for his daughter?
No, I don't know.
For her daughter?
For Meloni's daughter, biscuits branded with Larry the Cat on it. So I don't know whether he likes her or not, but, you know, if it was Mike, that would be a terrible gift to give.
Grave insult. Also, if I was Italian, Italian biscuits are incredible. That'd be an insult. Just bring
it's giving them some rich teas.
That's true.
rich teas with a cat on.
That probably is Keir Starmer's favourite biscuit, isn't it? He's a rich tea kind of guy.
Yeah, soggy.
The reason Ian Murray said that is because none of them can get a photo. Apparently, he said they all came into Downing Street really excited, all the new MPs and cabinet, and none of them can get a photo of Larry, and he's very aloof and dismissive. So it's, I don't think Ian Murray's met a cat before, basically, because they're all pricks. And then your last one, Prince Andrew, I'll just tell you to avoid any liable.
No!
go on.
It's Charles, right? Because Charles is trying to get him out of his current residence.
Yeah.
He's desperate to get him out.
He just said he's not going to pay the staff anymore, basically.
He's not going to pay security.
Right.
I think Charles is trying to avoid a sort of scene. It costs a horrendous amount of money. So he's saying, if you just move into Frogmore Cottage, which no one seems to want to live in.
You know what? If they really want someone, I'll do it. Free house in Windsor. If I have to, I'll take that sacrifice.
Jack, you're the hero we needed.
Thank you so much for that, Mike. That was an excellent game. It's not quite a game for you this week, but I've got a trio of smaller stories, a bit like Mike.
Excellent.
And I've got a segment that I'm calling Three Smelly Questions. So I've got three related stories.
Great stuff.
Yes.
They're all smelly. So first, smelly question is, which smelly thing do Brits have trouble identifying?
Something smelly that they can't identify.
Mm-hmm.
Rotten politicians.
Nice.
Yeah, we do have a bad track record there, don't we?
I would say some people in the office, I would say boiled eggs.
Yeah, there's been a bit of a turf war with boiled eggs here.
Has there?
No way.
Yeah.
In the Hattrick offices.
Fish in the microwave as well.
You're actually close to the answer there, Mike. It's not specifically fish in the microwave, but basically there's a story about a survey that shows that many Britons struggle to name common fish. The Marine Stewardship Council polled 2,000 adults. Mm. Can you guess what 12% mistakenly thought a John Dory fish was?
The Foreign Secretary.
Good guess. 12% thought he was a famous poet.
Yeah.
What do you think 6% of Brits thought a hake was?
Like a 7-word poem.
Like an international court of law.
Ooh, oh, good one.
Or like a gardening implement. They've just got it confused with a rake.
Mike, you've got it exactly right.
I just channeled my inner idiot.
And what did 10% think a coley was? So a coley is a type of whitefish.
God, I wouldn't even know what a coley is.
That dog that is a sheep dog.
Well done, Queenie. Yes, they thought actually, it was a breed of dog.
That's the stupidest thing that I could think of.
A border collie.
Yeah. Which smelly something won a controversial award in New Zealand? And I think it's something that's featured on the show before.
Is it Noel Edmonds? Because he's moved to New Zealand.
See, I do know the answer to this.
Mm, go for it, Jack.
Is it a smelly penguin?
It is a smelly penguin. Well done. Oh. It's a hoiho, which is a rare smelly penguin, and it's won the New Zealand Bird of the Year contest.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think we have featured on the show before, because it's, in the words of The Guardian, a lightning rod for scandal. Mm. They crowned a bat as a winner in 2021. Apparently, there was Russian interference in 2019. And the Australians tried to rig the contest in favour of the shag in 2018.
I thought you were going to say they like named Jacinda Ardern at some point.
Final smelly question. What smelly thing is making your coffee more expensive?
People with low ponytails.
The correct answer is the world's smelliest fruit, the durian. Which is a fruit that my parents love and my relatives in Malaysia love as well. I've not acquired the taste for it yet, but it is very smelly. It's banned on a lot of public transport in Southeast Asia, but apparently it's been growing in popularity in China. And because climate change has affected crops in Vietnam, they're now, instead of growing coffee crops, they're growing durian crops and selling loads of them to China. Apparently, it's 5 times more lucrative than coffee for them to smell. To sell durian.
And what does it smell like?
It has before been mistaken for a gas leak when it's been in someone's house.
That's quite impressive.
Yeah, it's kind of gassy.
This is really exciting. This has given me inspiration for like a smell round. Have I got anything for you now? I don't think we've ever done like the scratch and sniff of news.
So it's time for a winner. Which story do we think should win this week?
I can already see the graphics of who's got beef, so I'm bang out for that. I think that's good.
I'm sucker for a mad story, so I've got to go for Gemma Collins. I could imagine Paul having a lot of fun with just how batshit crazy that was and doing impressions of seances and stuff, so that gets my vote.
I really like smells. What's it called? Smells like beef? No. I'm thinking of the vine.
We're mixing them together.
Who's got beef?
Yeah, I really like Who's Got Beef, purely because it would be my job to get the pictures for that and make it funny. And that would be fun.
I think my vote is putting us in a tricky situation because I liked the Gemma Collins and Jack the Ripper story, but I think that means we're now...
I don't want to host. I don't need that.
How would a draw get decided on Have I Got News For You?
American listeners might want to avert their ears now, but we don't care about the scores. We literally could not care less. I'd say
Well, you're about to go as series producer, I think.
No, the opposite. I was going to say as triple reigning champion, I think Emerald should get the deciding vote.
And I picked Queenie. No. I picked Queenie with the Jack the Ripper Gemma Collins story.
Oh, this is terrible news for everyone.
Queenie's reign of terror begins now.
It's never going to end. I tried to save you. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
So congratulations, Queenie. You'll be in the hosting chair next week.
Great.
Thank you for listening to In the News this week.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and X, formerly known as Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us there using the hashtag HignifyPod or emailing podcast@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with two T's.
Make sure you're followed and subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now, and we'll see you here for next week's episode. Everyone say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The engineer is John Wakefield. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast. Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Listen and subscribe to The Real Sex Education, wherever you get your podcasts.